Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So we've talked on a number of occasions about collaborative development workflows and Git as one of the things that just comes to mind immediately whenever we're thinking about collaborating on code and version control. And I have to say, I only learned very recently that Git was created by Linus, the man who brought us Linux. And it really amazes me to think that one guy you could come up with. I mean, even just Linux is vast, but to have laid his fingerprints on Git as well is truly impressive. I came to Git through before the AI era, actually. I was put in charge of updating a website that didn't, it was a purely code-based website. So there was no CMS or WordPress or what have you. And that was kind of hard. But the harder part was that you had to learn GitHub in order to update this. And I'm still not sure exactly how I ended up with this project, but that was my introduction to Git. And I was lucky enough to have a couple of developers to turn to when things went wrong, which they did with alarming frequency. And that's the thing about Git is it's amazing until you run into your first conflict. And then the headache truly begins. I have a huge amount of respect for Git. It, you know, for version control, it's unparalleled at the character level. But it does bring with it a huge amount of complication. And sometimes I feel like it's one of those things that most of my projects I'm working on, especially in the realm of AI, I'm a huge backup fiend. And this is where Git is not backup. It gets confused with backup. It can be used as a kind of hacky backup tool, right? You can just refresh to a previous Git commit. You can go off into branches, but it's a bad idea to mistake Git for backup. But that's probably why I just kind of like it, because even if I'm working on kind of scrappy first drafts of a project, when I push to GitHub, that gives me a breath of relief, because I guess I permanently worry about whenever you're deep into a project, what happens if my laptop, it just doesn't boot, hasn't happened in a long time. But that's always a possibility. So it's always nice to know your stuff's on the cloud. But for solo projects, like the kind of ones I'm frequently working on, sometimes I think, well, it's nice to have learned this and it's great, but I don't need most of the features like the kind of the branches and all the rest of it. So here's my question for you, Herman and Corin. I am a huge advocate for version control. And I think the Git process of actually staging things is kind of, to an extent, almost like your creative philosophy, a very powerful one, that kind of classic development workflow of staging and production even has a lot to lend itself to creative workflows, where you can kind of think of, let's use a GitHub repository. I've used repos to write blog posts I was passionate about, recording my first drafts as voice notes, transcribing them with AI, getting images generated with AI, editing it manually, and having a final pass maybe for typos. And just using that repository as a kind of lifecycle control for just that one small project. And I really like it. But I open the question that this is probably not the intended or maybe even the best purpose for a GitHub repository. So Herman and Corin, for folks who are into version control, maybe like me are into, you know, technology and tech documentation, what alternatives do you think there are that might give us the best of both worlds, where we have comprehensive version control, tracking everything living in the cloud, but we don't have to deal with the headache caused by occasional conflicts, at least without so much complication, when that was clearly intended for, you know, tooling for multiple people collaborating in a code base at the character level? Is there something that's a good middle ground? And let's talk about the history of Git. Herman and Corin, over to you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to my weird prompts. I am Corin, and as always, I am joined by my brother and our resident deep diver into all things technical and historical.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. Today we are tackling a prompt that actually hits quite close to home for us. Our housemate Daniel sent us a recording asking about the history of Git and whether there are better ways for solo creators to manage their projects without getting bogged down in the complexity of traditional version control.
It is a great question because I think we have all been there. You start a simple project, maybe a series of blog posts or a personal knowledge base, and you think, I should probably use version control for this. Next thing you know, you are staring at a merge conflict in a terminal window at 2 a.m, wondering why you did this to yourself.
Exactly. It is like using a heavy-duty industrial crane to pick up a single grape. Git is incredibly powerful, but it was born out of an absolute crisis in the software world. It was never really designed to be user-friendly for the casual solo developer. It was designed for war.
Well, before we get into the alternatives for Daniel and everyone else listening who wants a smoother workflow, let us talk about that war. Daniel mentioned being impressed that Linus Torvalds created both Linux and Git. How did that actually happen? Was it just a side project he whipped up on a weekend?
Not quite a weekend, but it was shockingly fast. It is one of the most legendary stories in computing history. To understand Git, you have to understand the BitKeeper controversy of 2005. Before that, the Linux kernel was being managed using a proprietary tool called BitKeeper. The company that owned it, Bitmover, allowed the kernel developers to use it for free, but there were strings attached.
Proprietary software for an open source project as big as Linux sounds like a ticking time bomb.
It really was. The tension came to a head when a developer named Andrew Trigil, the same guy who created Samba, decided to reverse engineer the BitKeeper protocol. He wanted to create an open source client so people could interact with the repositories without needing the proprietary software. Larry McVoy, the head of Bitmover, was furious. He felt it violated the license agreement and decided to revoke the free status for all Linux developers.
So suddenly, the most important software project on the planet had no way to manage its source code?
Precisely. It was April 2005, and the whole development process was basically at a standstill. Linus Torvalds looked at the existing options like Subversion or CVS, and he absolutely hated them. He famously said that CVS was a system designed to ensure that you lose your data, and he found Subversion just as flawed because it was centralized. He wanted something distributed, something that could handle the massive scale of the Linux kernel, and most importantly, something that was fast.
And that is when he went into his cave and came out with Git?
Pretty much. He started writing the code on April 3rd, 2005. By April 7th, Git was self-hosting, meaning he was using Git to track the development of Git itself. It only took him about 4 days to build the core engine. By mid-April, he was using it to manage the Linux kernel release candidates, and by June, the first full kernel version managed entirely by Git was released. It was a sprint that changed software development forever.
Less than a week to build the foundation of modern coding. That is incredible. But the name itself, Git, that has a bit of a story too, right?
Oh, definitely. In British slang, a git is an unpleasant or contemptible person. Linus, in his typical self-deprecating but sharp humor, said he named it after himself. He said, I am an egotistical bastard, and I name all my projects after myself. First Linux, now Git.
That sounds like Linus. But here is the thing, Herman. While it was a miracle for the Linux kernel, it introduced a mental model that is fundamentally difficult for most people to grasp. Daniel mentioned using it for blog posts and repositories, but then running into conflicts that feel like overkill. Why is Git so notoriously difficult to learn?
It comes down to the architecture. Most earlier systems tracked changes to individual files. They would say, okay, line 45 of this file changed. Git does not do that. Git thinks in snapshots of the entire project. It uses something called a Merkle tree, which is a mathematical structure where every file and every directory is hashed into a unique identifier.
So every time you commit, you are essentially taking a photo of the entire house, rather than just noting that you painted the kitchen door.
Exactly, and because it is distributed, every single person has the entire history of that house on their own computer. The complexity comes when you try to merge two different histories. If I painted the door blue and you painted it red, Git looks at the history and says, I do not know which one of you is right. Resolve this. For a solo developer, that feels like a lot of overhead because you are often just working on one branch, but you still have to deal with the staging area, the local repo, and the remote repo.
Right, the staging area. That is the one that always trips people up. Why do I have to add the file before I commit it? Why can I not just save it?
It is that extra step of intentionality that makes sense for a team of thousands, but feels like a chore for one person. You are essentially saying, okay, out of all the mess I made in my workshop today, only these three specific tools are ready to be put back on the shelf. If you are just writing a blog post, you probably just want a save button that happens to remember what the document looked like 10 minutes ago.
This leads perfectly into Daniel's question about alternatives. If Git is the heavy-duty crane, what are the more agile tools for someone who wants version control without the headache? You have mentioned Fossil to me before. Is that still a viable contender in 2026?
Fossil is actually my favorite recommendation for solo projects. It was created by Richard Hipp, the same genius who gave us SQLite. In many ways, Fossil is the anti-Git. While Git is a collection of small, complex tools that we have to string together, Fossil is a single executable file. It is tiny, about 8 megabytes, and it contains everything you need. It is very much alive and actively maintained.
When you say everything, what do you mean?
I mean it includes the version control, a built-in wiki, a bug tracker, a forum, and even a web interface. When you run Fossil, it starts a local web server, and you can manage your whole project through a browser if you want to. And because it is built on top of an SQLite database, your entire project history is just one single file on your hard drive.
That sounds much more manageable for a solo creator. If I want to move my project to a new laptop, I just grab that one file?
Exactly. No hidden .git folder scattered everywhere, no complex setup. And it has a feature called auto-sync. In Git, you have to manually pull and push changes to a server. In Fossil, the moment you commit a change, it automatically tries to sync with your server if you have one set up. It feels much more like the seamless cloud experience we are used to with things like Google Docs, but with the power of a real versioning system.
That sounds perfect for technical documentation. But what about people who still want to use GitHub because that is where their community is, but they hate the Git interface? Is there a middle ground here in 2026?
There absolutely is, and it is the biggest trend in developer tools right now. It is called Jujutsu, or just JJ for short. It is a version control system that is fully compatible with Git repositories, but it completely reimagines the user experience. It was created by a developer at Google who wanted to fix everything that makes Git frustrating.
How does JJ make it easier?
It gets rid of the staging area entirely. In JJ, your working directory is always a commit. As you type, it is essentially taking snapshots in the background. You never have to remember to git add. It also handles conflicts much more gracefully. It does not stop your workflow. It just records the conflict as a special state that you can fix whenever you are ready. It is the perfect tool for someone who wants the power of Git's ecosystem without the Git headache.
That is a great middle ground. But let us look at the documentation side of things, because Daniel specifically mentioned using GitHub for blog posts. For a lot of writers and researchers, the version control they really need is not about code, it is about ideas.
Right, and that is where we see a shift toward tools that integrate versioning into the writing environment itself. Have you seen how people are using Obsidian Sync lately?
I use it every day. For those who do not know, Obsidian is a Markdown-based note-taking app. It has a plugin called Obsidian Git, which basically runs Git in the background for you. It automatically commits your notes every few minutes and pushes them to GitHub.
See, that is a great middle ground. You get the safety and the cloud backup of GitHub, but you never actually have to touch a terminal. It handles the snapshots for you. But even simpler than that is just using the built-in version history in apps like Notion or even Google Docs. For most solo blog projects, the ability to see a list of versions from the last 30 days and click restore is usually enough.
But is that enough for someone who wants lifecycle control? Daniel mentioned wanting to track the evolution of a project. If I use Google Docs, I can see the changes, but I cannot really branch off and try a new experimental version of a blog post without cluttering up my workspace.
That is the trade-off. Branching is the killer feature of Git, Fossil, and JJ. It allows you to say, I'm going to try writing this entire chapter from the perspective of a different character, and if it sucks, I can just delete that branch and my main work is untouched. Most cloud-based writing tools do not have a concept of branching. They are linear.
So if you want branching without the Git pain, where do you go?
Honestly, I would point Daniel back to Fossil, or a tool called Radical. Radical is a peer-to-peer version control system. It is designed to be decentralized without needing a middleman like GitHub. It is very focused on the sovereign developer, someone who wants to own their data completely and collaborate without a corporate gatekeeper.
I like the sound of that, but let us talk about the second-order effects of these tools. When we make version control too complex, does it actually stifle creativity? I have found myself hesitant to make a change sometimes, because I do not want to deal with the potential mess in my repository.
That is a profound point, Korn. It is the friction of the tool. If the tool is supposed to be a safety net, but the safety net is covered in barbed wire, you are going to be afraid to jump. This is why I think for solo projects, we should prioritize low friction over maximum power. If you are spending 20% of your time managing your tools, that is 20% of your time you are not spent writing or coding.
Exactly. And the history of these tools shows that they were built for massive collaboration. But the needs of a single human living in a house in Jerusalem, trying to organize their thoughts, are very different from the needs of 10,000 developers working on a kernel.
It is the difference between a library and a personal notebook. A library needs a strict indexing system, a checkout process, and security. Your notebook just needs a pen and a way to flip back a few pages. I think for most of our listeners, the best version control is the one that happens automatically. Whether that is a script you write to back up your folder to the cloud every night, or using a dedicated tool like Fossil or JJ that stays out of your way.
I also want to touch on the idea of technical documentation specifically. Daniel mentioned cloud-based tracking. In the professional world, we are seeing a move toward what they call docs as code. This is where you write your documentation in Markdown and store it in a repository alongside your code.
Yes, and that is where Git really shines because it allows your documentation to stay in sync with your software versions. But for a solo blogger, I would actually suggest looking at platforms like Ghost or even some of the newer AI-integrated writing platforms. They often have versioning built into the database level. You do not need to manage files at all.
It is funny how we have come full circle. We started with Linus Torvalds manually applying patches from emails because he did not like the existing tools. Then we went to this hyper-complex Git world, and now we are looking for ways to hide all that complexity behind simple interfaces again.
It is the cycle of technology. We build powerful abstractions, and then we build simpler abstractions to hide the powerful ones. But knowing the history helps you appreciate what is happening under the hood. When you see a conflict in Git, you are seeing the ghost of the BitKeeper controversy. You are seeing a system that was built to ensure that no single company could ever hold the world's software hostage again.
That is a great way to put it. It is a tool of liberation, even if it feels like a tool of frustration sometimes. So, if we were to give Daniel a concrete takeaway, what would it be?
I would say, Daniel, if you want the power of versioning without the Git headache, download the Fossil executable, spend 30 minutes learning its basic commands, open, commit, and UI. It will give you a single file database for your project, a built-in wiki for your notes, and it will never ask you to resolve a complex rebase unless you really, really go looking for trouble.
And if you want to stay on GitHub but want a better experience, look into Jujutsu. It is the future of how we interact with Git repositories.
Precisely. And remember, version control is there to serve you, not the other way around. If a tool makes you want to work less, it is the ROM tool, no matter how industry standard it is.
That is a lesson that applies to so much more than just software. Well, I think we have covered the basis here. From the 4-day miracle of Linus Torvalds to the 8-megabyte simplicity of Fossil.
It is a fascinating evolution. And honestly, I think we are going to see even more changes in the next few years as AI starts handling the merging and conflict resolution for us. Imagine an AI that looks at our two different versions of a blog post and says, "Hey, I see what you both were doing here. Here is a version that combines the best of both."
That would certainly save me some late-night headaches. Before we wrap up, I want to say a big thank you to Daniel for sending in this prompt. It gave us a great excuse to dig into some tech history that we both love.
Absolutely. It is always fun to talk about the dramas that shape the digital world we live in.
And for everyone listening, if you've been enjoying my weird prompts and our deep dives into these topics, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other curious people find the show.
It really does. We love seeing the community grow. You can find all our past episodes at our website, myweirdprompts.com. There is also a contact form there if you want to send us a prompt of your own.
We are also on Spotify, so make sure to follow us there so you never miss an episode. We have a lot of interesting topics lined up for the coming weeks.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. This has been My Weird Prompts.
Until next time, stay curious and don't let your tools get in the way of your work. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.